Hey, welcome back to That's Not Proper, and I'm your host, Corey Asuncion. Recently, I was scrolling on Facebook, and a post came up that mentioned the term toxic positivity. And that term was new to me. The idea of the term, that was not new, but the term itself was new. Let's go back for just a second here. This entire year has been mayhem. I don't care who you are. It is a lot. And there are times where I sit down and I'm in a funk and I'm trying to figure out why, because there's nothing I can really pinpoint. I mean, I could just blame everything on the coronavirus, or I could blame everything on the shelter in place, or I could blame everything on the disaster that our nation is right now. But it feels as though it's more than that sometimes. And my type of personality is one that is constantly trying to be happy, or I want others to be happy. Sometimes I just don't know what to do to make someone else happy. And that grieves me. I feel their pain and I don't want them to be in pain, and because it hurts. So this idea of toxic positivity, again, not new to me, the idea at least of it wasn't, but the term, which is something I've been noticing at least myself over the past year or two. There's a lot of new terms coming up, and it's like I've got to figure out the definition of the terms so I can have, you know, at least somewhat of an educated conversation or understanding about all of these different terms. And so I looked into this idea of toxic positivity. In fact, I shared a post on Instagram with regards to toxic positivity, and I shared some posts within that post from other accounts that had some really great, very basic ideas of what toxic positivity is, and also encouraging other things to say with regards to toxic positivity that could be better things to say. So let's dig into that just a little bit. Well, let's first define toxic positivity. One definition I found, according to Tang Law Mental Health, is toxic positivity is the excessive and ineffective overgeneralization of a happy and optimistic state in any situation, in the denial, minimization, and invalidation of genuine human emotional experience. When a person exhibits toxic positivity, they deny any and all negative experiences that make us human and lives their life this way. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, essentially what it means is when you or someone else that you are in contact with, or even just on social media, is regularly saying things like, count your blessing, everything happens for a reason, just think positive, look at the glasses half full, it just wasn't meant to be, every cloud has a silver lining. Now, these aren't necessarily bad things to say, but when we use those terms to deny the pain and the struggle that another person or another group of people are experiencing, that is toxic. And what was interesting when I looked into this a little bit more, I found that it is actually an issue when you look at it from a mental health perspective. There can be long-term effects on a person who is basically encouraged to remain silent about their struggles. What actually ends up happening is someone that has negative situations or struggles or environments, someone like that who is regularly told these positive, my fingers are in quotes, terms, and encouraged by someone else or others to look at the positive, look at the positive, they never really learn to deal with or handle negative situations. And so what's actually happening is harm. So because of this, it became important for myself to be reflective and check myself. And I realized that it is not uncommon for me to, with myself and sometimes with others, tell them to maybe not necessarily say the words, look past your emotion, but the words that I'm using and the phrasing I may be using could be harmful and toxic to them as well as to myself. So I had to take a look at the things that I say and the things that I do And it caused me to kind of reflect upon different types of situation, different types of trauma. And right now we're in the middle of the coronavirus. We're in the middle of a nation that is uprising against racism. And we've also got, that's been going on a long time, it's being brought to the forefront, survivors of different forms of trauma, especially sexual trauma. And I'm hearing a lot of people say things like, well, we can't look at the past, you've got to get over the past. And I think it's really important that we realize someone who has been traumatized, someone who has been oppressed, someone who is struggling with depression, the past is still very valid for them. So to use these phrases that are in essence toxic positivity on them to mask their pain, to ask them in a sense to not deal with their own struggle and pain is toxic to them. It's harmful to them. And I think it's important that we realize that, that while we may have good intention, that intention can be harmful. Now, I'm not talking about genuine optimism. I'm not saying it's never good to say these things. I think there is a time and a place for these things. But I think it's really important that we're reflective and we consider what we're saying before we say them. Are we trying to mask their pain? Are we trying to say something just for the sake of saying something because we don't know what to say? Do we realize that we don't have to say things? I think that's a struggle that many of us have. I know that I have, that I sometimes feel as though I have to say something. I don't know what to say. I think sometimes saying, you know what, I don't know what to say, but I'm here. I don't know what to say. What can I do for you? I don't know what to say, but that sounds painful. I think that we need to consider changing our words so that we are making sure that we validate the pain and emotion that someone is going through or has gone through. Just because something occurred 5, 10, 15, 400 years ago does not negate the pain, does not mean that for someone that it is very real and it is very now. They need to heal. And part of healing is coming to terms with that pain and recognizing it and expressing it. And part of healing for some people also is making sure that other people know, hey, I am in this pain. And if we're always coming to people and telling them all these positive words, glasses half full, you need to look at it that way, you need to look at the positive, you need to quit forgetting what happened in the past, how can they reconcile the present? In all honesty, it's a narcissistic way to behave. It negates their pain to make us feel more comfortable. I think it's also important that we're making sure that we're doing this with ourselves. I know that it's a struggle for moms, and I know it's a struggle for women. I'm sure it's a struggle for anyone, that when things are hard, we feel as though we have to put on the happy face. We have to say these phrases. We have to look up the memes and the artwork that we can post on social media that says everything is great, when it really is not. I think our society needs to make it okay for things to not be okay. When things aren't okay and we pretend that they are, they don't become okay suddenly. It's still there. I mean, that seems blatantly obvious, but really reflect on even just small situations. I think about sometimes what I do with my kids when they're struggling with something. And I know for a fact I've said things that are trying to make it look prettier. And I do that not because I want to harm them, but because I'm hoping, well, maybe they'll find something positive in this. But see, the thing is, in all actuality, it is harmful. I am harming them when I do that. I need to validate their pain. They're not going to come to me if I don't validate it. They're not going to come to me if I don't say something like, that sounds terrible. That sounds painful. I may not understand it, but what can I do? And what can you do might just be being there. What you can do might just be validating that. But we really have to consider these things that we're saying. I brought this up on other podcasts before, that we need to consider the words that we use and the thoughts that we have and the actions that we make. And I think that toxic positivity, I think that that can play a role in that. We have to consider these things. I think some of these phrases are deeply rooted in various other things. I recently someone commented on that post that I had made and said that some of these phrases sound very much rooted in Christianity. And I couldn't disagree. I can't believe how many times when I was in the church where I would hear things about, well, you know, we've got to look on the positive side. This too shall pass. Oh, there's a reason. God does all things for a reason. The pain is still there. You say that to someone and the pain is still there. A few years ago, my daughter bought a car. It was an older little Honda silver CRV. And we loved that car. But it was also a car I'd never even noticed before. Never noticed it on the road. And I promise you I'm getting to a point. So anyhow, never noticed this car on the road. But after my daughter buys this car, we start seeing it everywhere. I'm seeing it everywhere. And it was everywhere I'm seeing it. It was the same. It looked like the same year, the same color. Everything about it was the same. The same cover on the tire or lack of cover on the tire. Maybe it was whatever. But it felt like I was seeing the same exact car everywhere. And the only reason why I was able to notice a difference was because she had the sticker on the back of her car. And I'm like, oh, that's not Nay's car. But gosh, that looks like her car. So I'm seeing it everywhere I go. Well, she doesn't have the car anymore, but I'm still seeing it everywhere. And I thought, that's so weird. How come I never noticed this before? Obviously, because the car at the time was maybe 10 years old, somewhere in that ballpark. Obviously, these have been on the road. It's always been here, but how come I've never noticed it before? You know, but for a moment, you kind of go, were they not here? And just the whole world decided to go buy a older silver Honda CRV? Well, you know, obviously that wasn't the case. And so the other day I was thinking about toxic positivity with regards to the Honda CRV. Here's my point. It was always there, the toxic positivity, just like the Honda CRV was always there. But I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't noticing it because it hadn't become a part of my life that had been revealed to me yet. It was always there. And so just like that CRV, my obsession with toxic positivity, if you want to call it that, is that I'm constantly seeing it. I'm constantly aware of it. I'm constantly looking for it now. And so a big part of my life lately has been paying attention to my own toxic positivity, the toxic positivity I might see in my family, the toxic positivity I'm seeing in society and social media as well. So I took a moment to consider what's going on in our society, nation, worldwide, whatever, right now. And specifically referencing Black Lives Matter, COVID-19, depression, loss of work, lack of income, abuse increasing in homes because they don't have the ability to get outside and get away during the day, whether it be for school or for jobs, family struggles because now you're all together all at the same time, illnesses. A lot of these phrases with regards to toxic positivity, phrases like, don't think about it, stay positive, don't worry, be happy, everything will work out in the end, positive vibes only, if I can do it, so can you, look for the silver lining, everything happens for a reason, it could be worse. Every one of those statements negates someone's struggle. If someone doesn't feel comfortable coming to you, if every time you're approached with a situation where someone's struggling and your response are these toxically positive phrases, they're not going to come to you anymore. These type of phrases lead to a lack of honesty. They lead to a lack of honesty in conversation with you, which is harmful. If someone cannot feel as though they can come to you, they cannot connect with you, or they cannot relate to you. According to some studies that have been done by psychologists, they found that the suppressing of emotion, suppressing of struggles, leads to stress on the body. It goes even deeper than that. That's very basic. You can dig into that and look it up. But what they've also found is that the ability to express your struggle and your emotion actually enables people to regulate their responses to stressors. When we choose to use these phrases, when we choose to have this thought process with regards to our struggles or anyone else's struggles, what we're actually doing is we're hiding and we're masking our emotions It is invalidating our own personal struggles if we're doing this to ourselves, and it invalidates others. It minimizes them. I mean, some of these phrases can be used in a way that could be shaming, judgmental, chastising. It makes me think of depression. There's so many I know that struggle with depression. And to be totally honest, it's not something that I've had to struggle with for long periods of time. And so because of that, I don't have a very good understanding of it. And I admit that. And I admit that there's times where I've probably said things to somebody else who's struggling with depression that were toxic. And that grieves me. And so I'm having to dig into myself to find ways to respond that are appropriate, that validate. Just because I don't understand, just because I have not experienced it myself, doesn't mean then that I can't be a shoulder, that I cannot be a connection, that I cannot be relatable. It still means I can be there, which I know in my struggles in the past when I've had issues of depression or financial struggles, illnesses in the family, stressors upon my relationships, it would have been fabulous just to know that someone was there. But I've hidden, masked a lot of that kind of stuff, and I've done that because I never felt that anyone could relate. And so then I have to turn that on to myself. How many others have felt the same way with regards to me? How many times have I led someone to believe that their struggles, their emotions, their feelings are not valid? And then in turn, cause them to believe that their struggles, emotions, and feelings aren't valid about themselves. It's not just about invalidating and they go away and go, oh, she didn't validate me. What have I done to cause them to believe that they aren't valid? That's painful. Another thing that made me think of is young girls, society, past. I'm excited because I'm seeing a movement away from this. Society has always told women and girls from a young age, they need to be nice. They need to be pleasant. They need to be smiling. My daughter recently messaged me when she was at work and she was having an off day. And someone came up to her and said, you usually make everybody laugh and talk, but you seem off. I think if I recall correctly, someone had actually said to her that her lack of smiling or bubbly nature was making them feel bad. And what she said to me was, what she felt like saying to them, she didn't, but what she wanted to say was, your emotions are not my responsibility. I think what she meant by that was, your reaction to my struggle or my lack of bubbliness today, I am not responsible for how you feel about that. And I totally agree. But if you look at the way society expects us to behave when we're struggling, they want us to mask, they want us to hide, they want us to take those toxically positive words that they use and apply them to our situation and negate our momentary struggle or long-term struggle, whatever it is. And how does that help anything? Again, it leads to people not relating to you, not connecting to you, not trusting you. You have a breakdown of communication. So we need to do a few things with regards to this. One, we need to check ourselves with regards to toxic positivity. Recognize it in ourselves, our families, society, everywhere. Call it out. And then in addition to that, we need to normalize that people have emotions, feelings, and struggles, and normalize the fact that they need to be able to express those. And they need someone. Now, all of this being said, genuine optimism and looking for joys and happiness, there's nothing wrong with that. But if in doing that, you're negating somebody else's struggle, if you're negating your own struggle to put on a mask for somebody else who is, in all honesty, when we do this, we're thinking about ourselves. When we are toxically positive, when we use these phrases, when we turn them on other people, it's a very selfish thing. It can be an avoidance. You know, these conversations can be difficult. You're avoiding it. There is nothing wrong in the moment saying, I don't understand it completely, but I love you. I'm here for you. What can I do for you? There's nothing wrong with that. We need to stop this toxic positivity. and we need to normalize their struggles so that they can heal. Thank you so much for listening in to today's episode of That's Not Proper. I'd love to hear your feedback on this episode. If you're recognizing toxic positivity in yourself, in society, and in ways that you are working on that, head over to my website at thatsnotproper.com. Check out the website. Listen to the episodes there. Share the episodes with your family, friends, whomever. In addition, at the top of the website, there is a link you can click on. It says Be on the Podcast. Click on that. Fill out the form. Submit it to me. You can give me your ideas of topics you'd like to discuss, or if you'd like to be on the podcast, submit your info. And if you are a good fit, I will get back to you. Thanks again so much one more time for listening to That's Not Proper.